Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartRadio, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to LindaMonroe.com. I do want to thank all my listeners for listening to my broadcast each week. I hope it's been a blessing to your life to make a change to your life, because that's what I do. And today I have two of the most awesome guests in this world, Eldris Lady G Faison and her husband, Pastor Anthony Faison. Now, this is a blessing because you don't find too many people working together, and they're working together for the Lord, and that's what the blessing is. So today we're going to be talking about the God of a second chance. Okay, Lady G, which her name is Rosa G, Lady G Faison. She grew up in Cumberland County. She's the eldest of four siblings of Bishop O.T. and Mother Annie Johnson. As I said, she's married to Anthony Faison, and together they have four children, 12 grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. So, Lady G, tell us a little about yourself and what do you do?
Well, I am Lady G, better known as that's what I'm better known as, my radio name. I've been in radio for 35 years. Started out in radio here in the Fayetteville area, in the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, and I've been doing, like I said, I've been doing radio for 35 years. I still do radio. Yes, I've also worked with the Cumberland County School System. I am retired now, but I still do radio. I do work in the ministry with my husband, which is, the name of our ministry is Second Chance Ministry. How we got that name of Second Chance Ministry is a long story. My husband, as he will probably tell you later on, he was incarcerated for selling drugs. We had not met each other, had not seen each other over the years or anything like that, never met each other. And I was on the radio one Sunday morning, and he was listening to the radio show. And he was about – I'll let him tell his story. He can tell it better than I can. But that's how the second chance came about. You can just jot in anytime you want to, you know. And that's how the second chance came about, because God gave him a second chance. And that's how we started the Second Chance Ministry. That's how the Second Chance got its name of Second Chance Ministry, because of what he had gone through and how God delivered him.
Okay, and what has been the lowest point in your life, Lady G, and how has that elevated you to where you are today?
Well, there was two points in my life where I considered was the lowest point in my life. And one of them was during a time when he reached out to me, and I was going through a situation. I was a single parent mom, and I was going through a situation where I was just really just fed up with men, because I had just really been dogged out and been wrong, had done wrong, been cheated on, all that. And I was just about to just like give up on men. I'm just going to stay single for the rest of my life, raise my kids, and go on with my life. And that's when I just really went into radio, and I was doing a stage play. Oops, here it is. God is trying to tell you something. And I got this letter from this gentleman that was incarcerated, and he wrote me a letter and was telling me, you know, how he had got in some trouble. He had come from a good Christian home. His dad was a pastor and all that. And we became pen pals. We started becoming pen pals. And it was writing back and forth, and then he asked me to come meet him, and I did, and I went to meet him. And make a long story short, I continued to go visit him, and the Lord let me know that that was going to be my husband. And I was like, Lord, this man is incarcerated. Are you sure this is the man that you want for me? And he was like, yes. And so we began talking, and we committed to each other, and I waited for him. For 6 years, I waited for him. And when he got out, we got married, and it was like we had so much in common. And it just really lifted my life up to give me trust in a man again and believe in love again and go on with my life. And long story short, we got married, and we've been married now for 19 years. We've been together for 25 years. The next lowest point in my life was 3 years ago. I had a battle with cancer. I had diagnosed with multiple myeloma cancer of the bones. I had never been sick in my life except for just having kids, going to the hospital, that type thing. My son was like 30. He was in his 30s. So that's been like 30 years since I've been in the hospital. And then to find out that I had a stage 3, which is advanced stage 3 myeloma cancer, and it was just a blow. And I had begot so I couldn't walk. I had to have assistance doing everything I had to do. And when I got ready to leave the hospital, they told me that I would have to go into a facility because I would need 24-hour care. But my husband quit his job and became my caregiver to take care of me, to help nurse me back to health. And I had to go through chemo. I went through 24 weeks of chemo. Then I had to have a stem cell transplant and to get myself back together. But right now, I thank God that I'm healed. The doctors say it's remission, 100% remission, but I say I am healed. And
amen.
And it's just then having the radio, because I couldn't go to the radio station during this time, but my colleagues would come to my house and record me so that I could and do tracks, so I could still let my audience follow me, my listeners follow me, my journey, my faith walk to recovery. And that's what it became. It became a faith walk to recovery. And now that that was my inspiration to radio, it helped me get through each Sunday, knowing that I was going to be able to speak to my listening audience and let them follow my journey. And that was a point in my life where God just reversed the situation, and now I'm back in radio, going back to the station. I'm back walking, have the using activity of my limbs again. So God is a miracle worker. He is faithful to his promises.
He's that God of a second chance, Lady G. Won't he do it for
you? Yes, he will.
I am so excited. I've been knowing you guys for a long time, and just to have God bring me around into this atmosphere with radio as well, it has truly been a blessing to my life. My radio broadcast has been going for about 90 days now. It was just like he just threw me in it. So I am just so excited, and I'm just giving Christian people the opportunity to let the world know about this God of a second chance.
Yes. And
so Pastor Anthony.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. So, Pastor Anthony, you're the co-host with your wife, Lady G, on the Sunday Morning Inspiration on 107.7.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I've been doing it almost 20 years now. You know, it started out going down with her to the radio station to make sure she was going down there early in the morning times and it was dark. It was more or less to be a bodyguard for her. Ended up trying to learn some of the things that goes on behind the microphone. And I learned a little something, but 20 years later, if you leave me by myself, I still couldn't do what she do. So, you know, I just go in and do my little thing, say my little bit, and answer the phone when I can. But, you know, now there were times I covered for her, you know, she had to talk me through it, but try to do it on my own. But it's been a life-changing experience, you know, you never know the lives of people that you touch through radio, because you can't see them all. But so many times you're out in public and the people will hear you. Or now, you know, like her, when you open up your mouth, now they say, "Where did I hear that voice? You, yeah, that's me, that's me. You sound like you, you know." So yeah, yeah, I had to get used to all of that right there. You know, I used to ask her like, "You don't know them? You don't know them?" And she's like, "Nah, you hang around long enough, you'll be saying." And I'm the same way. Years later, people walk over and I don't know them. They listen to us on a radio show. Yes, yes. So I
know that's right. So you're also CEO of Second Chance Ministry Outreach, which is a ministry that helps ex-offenders kind of integrate back into society. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, it all came about, as Lady G was saying. Okay, yeah, it started out with, like Lady G said, you know, I grew up, I'm a PK kid, and I just grew up wanting better things out of life and wanting to be accepted. So at an early age, I started indulging in another lifestyle of getting involved in drugs and things like that. Went through high school, military, all over the same. So as I got older, I branched out into bigger things and larger things in that lifestyle, in that world. And it became my lifestyle. So I eventually, like everything and everybody else, I ended up getting caught. I was facing, I had a 15-year sentence. I had a lawyer. But that sentence, back in that time, it was cut in half. And with a paid lawyer, I was only scheduled to do about 6 months to a year. Within my first couple of months, I started by doing the same thing that I was doing while I was on the streets. And I got shipped to a particular camp. And I was facing, I had 11 state charges, one federal charge of running a criminal enterprise. I was facing 285 years plus life while incarcerated for selling, doing the same thing that I literally was doing on the street. Off from almost basically all my life since I was 10 years old. And I was put in a single cell, and I was just down and out and was going through and felt like I let my mom, my family down. You know, I turned the TV into newspapers, and it was on the TV, it was in the newspaper, an individual incarcerated, you know, facing all this time. And so this particular Sunday morning in November, I turned the radio on, you know, I listened to some gospel. I don't know why I did it, but now I know. And I turned the radio on, and I heard his voice on the radio. I'm like, there's no way in the world that nobody could be this happy at 6 o'clock in the morning. That just can't be true. Not a Christian person, not a Christian woman, because I grew up in a church, so I knew, you know. So and her show was like from 6 to 12, and I ended up listening to a whole show. So I said, you know what? I'm going to see this woman for real. So I literally forgot about what I was going to do on that particular Sunday. I couldn't wait till the next Sunday. And to make a long story short, she waited for me 6-7 years faithfully. And that's how I went to court. She was my pen pal first, and we went to court. I went to court. And the judge said, all I know is what I see about you is what I see in front of me, the 11th charge in this one state, one federal charge. She said, but I see something in you, and I'm going to give you a second chance. She, out of all the time that I was facing, she gave me 5 years at the end of my original sentence. So that's how a second chance became, because she gave me a second chance. She saw something in me and gave me a second chance. So I was already feeding the homeless we were working with. I've been homeless before, been through a lot. And so I was telling Lady G then, you know, what are you doing with the food that's left over after the holidays? So she was telling me, I said, they're homeless people in Fayetteville. So while I was incarcerated, she started feeding the homeless. And then that particular time, we was able to help inmates that across the state of North Carolina who didn't have families come visit them during the holidays, and we could do care packages. And her Rev. Everett Kate became famous in the Department of Correction in the state of North Carolina because inmates was requesting that, and we would send them boxes of food, you know, try to get the families connected. We would even sometimes, if I was at a place and they haven't seen their family had no way, she would pick them up and bring them. Well, you know, when she visits with me to visit either their loved one or their son or their daughter. And so that's, you know, we always talk about a second chance. So that's how Second Chance Ministry, Second Chance Outreach was birthed. Dealing with those that other people don't have time for, overlook. Our motto, our logo is a frog. God gave us that because everybody wants the butterfly, you know, it's a caterpillar and a metamorphosis into a lovely butterfly. But nobody really want to deal with a frog because it's a tadpole. And it hides in the dark, and it's slimy. And people at times don't want to deal with those who have real issues in life. And they overlook them, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the homosexual, the lesbian, those people that society tends to overlook. But God has given all of us because of his mercy and grace, has given us all a second chance. And so that has been the thrive and the thing that has pushed our second chance ministry. We've been doing it for 20-plus years now.
Well, that is so awesome, because I remember meeting you and asking you that question. Anthony, they took you off the street for selling drugs, so how do you go into a prison and start selling drugs? I mean, it just blew my mind, the amount of drugs you ran through that prison. But thank God he sent Lady G into your life at the point where you would not, you know, you wouldn't have caught all that time. Plus, after that state time, you would have probably had to go do some federal time, I would assume, right?
Yeah, the federal time was a life sentence. The federal time was a life sentence because it was running a criminal enterprise. And everything, and so that's how that happened. And God opened up the door, you know, because of that the charges, the time that I got at the end, I wasn't scheduled to be released until July 7, 2007. But God opened up the door September 11, 2000. I got released 7 years early. Was on probation, parole, had a curfew, owed money, and all of that. But when I tell you that we serve a God as a God of a second chance, when I tell you that God has angels that will erase things and things like that, and give, it's like giving you a whole new life, a whole second chance. Yes, he do that. He did that for me, did that for us.
Well, I am so glad you too. So, Lady G?
Yes, uh-huh.
You being that hot personality, radio personality, how did your listeners accept the fact that you are married to an ex-offender?
They did not know.
So Anthony came out of prison. Nobody knew where he came from, but y'all just jumped and got married.
Right. Because I was always talking to him and saying hello to him, you know, and on Sunday mornings and everything. And people thought that he was in the military or something. They thought that he was, you know, I was just saying hello to him, you know, on the radio. He was deployed or something. But then when he came home and everything, and I told him, I said, first of all, honey, a lot of people are not going to accept you. Just let them get to know you, the person you are, before you start telling your story, you know, and all that. And that's what happened. I started, whenever people would call me to engage me to speak, I would say, well, let my husband speak. He has a testimony. He has something he has for the young people, because we love working with the youth. And I would give up my spot so that he would be able to talk and give his story. And as people began to learn him and people began to know him, they began to accept him. And when they found out that he was in prison, they couldn't believe it. You know, once they were.
Sure.
They couldn't believe it. But now that they, you know, that my listeners accepted him for who they are, because they knew that if it was me, Lady G, and I was in love with this man, they had to know that he had to be a good man.
Amen. He looked so humble.
Yes. And they accepted him. And now that he goes back, because he's been where some of the people are now, he goes back to help them to become productive citizens in life, because he's there. If he could do it, they can do it too. So that's what he does now with the reentry program, going back out there in the prisons, going back out there when guys are getting out, ladies is getting out, to give them a hand up to help them get a second chance at life.
Okay, so is he on the North Carolina State Reentry Program, Reentry Council for Fayetteville?
Yes, he is.
Yes, ma'am. I serve. I'm a case manager for the Fayetteville Community Reentry Council. That is part of the state of North Carolina. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Great. That is just so awesome. I mean, that's just a testimony to see how God put you two together. And are you still sending those red velvet cakes in that prison, Lady G?
Well, no, you know, they changed everything now. Now they've got it where they can make the money. You know, the state can make the money, because now the people that's incarcerated now, they can't send food in no more. They have to buy the care packages from a certain company now. So all that stops, that you can't.
Yeah, it's all about money for them. I mean, prison is one of the biggest business in this country, other than the drug situation. This, I think, is two after the drug situation in this country. I mean, my goal is to shut every one of them down. I mean, I know there's some people that may not need to be in society, but the few that, I mean, we have 2 million people incarcerated around this country. And that's a lot of people.
Yes.
And half of them, you know, with the feds, you got that mandatory minimum 25 to life for selling drugs. Come on.
So
my goal, I had met this guy out of, he's out of Wilmington. So our goal is to try to shut these prisons down because they're not really doing what they were built to do. They're not rehabilitating people. They're just, in my opinion, creating a monster. Because they go in there, they learn worse. They go in there and learn, you know, worse stuff and come out. And that's why the recidivism rate is so high.
Exactly.
Because they go inside and do the same thing, basically, they were doing on the street.
Exactly. And you, like you said, they learn more things while they're in there. They come back out trying to be, think they can get by, and then they end up going back in or getting in more trouble than they was in before. And it has to be a better way. It has to be a better way. And then you have the loved ones, because I was on the outside, and loved ones do time just with them, just like those that's doing time in there. And it's hard on the families because the families got to get the money for canteen, you know, to make sure they get some stuff while they're in there. They have to do, and then what the system is now, if you even put money on a person's book now, they charge you a fee just to put the money on there, you know. And the canteen is so high in there. I mean, come on, they're in prison. Then in the canteen, and the canteen is so high. For instance, a pack of noodles that will cost us like 25 cents on out here, they got to pay $2 for it in there. Come on, that's ridiculous. And who's having to send them the money to get this stuff? Is the family. And so it's putting a hardship on the family on the outside because they're trying to make sure that their person, their loved one inside, is going to have some type of life, you know, while they're in there.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, it's just a system to set up failure. That's what I see, you know, because I've been going to prisons a long time, too, and I'm like, nah, it's got to stop. It just, it makes no sense. It's too many innocent people locked up in our prison system.
Exactly.
You know, they have no one there and to try to help them. So that's basically how I got into prison ministry as well. I started visiting my homies from my hometown down in Scotland County. So it's just truly amazing. If the society really knew what was going on in these prisons, they really would shut them down.
Right.
And but then the politicians use stuff, you know, the politicians use stuff to keep them open because it's big business.
And then I look at people now, even on TV, and some of the guys now, just like the young man that just stayed his execution down there in Texas, I think it was. And,
Rodney.
He just spent 20 years. Yeah, he spent 20 years for a crime he said he did not do. And now 20 years later, they found evidence that supported what he was saying all along. But he's already spent 20 years. How many other guys have spent years in prison for things they did not do, you know, because they just want to solve a case or, you know, that type thing? It's so unfair, and mostly it's affecting our Black American men, you know.
Right.
And that's what gets me upset, you know.
Well, I don't know if y'all listen to the news, but a couple of weeks ago, well, maybe a month or two, Kenny Lassiter, which was director of the Division of Prisons, you know, somebody threatened him and his family and said that, you know, prison was a slave ship and he was a captain. So, of course, he had to, you know, leave that position for the simple fact his family was being threatened. But I'm like, if somebody's going to threaten you, you did something somewhere down the line, you know?
Right.
Because they're just not going to jump up and threaten your family for no reason. I mean, he was in the prison. I think he started out as a captain at Central Prison 37 years ago.
And that's what it is. It's a way to keep all Black men in bondage. You know, it's a different type of slavery. It's a different type of slavery.
That's all it is. Yes, you're definitely right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at people, yeah, I'm like, you think we free? We not free. They're using the prison to keep our men bound so
that's
we can't
right.
have any children.
Huh? Yeah. They're trying to wipe out the African American race, you know, by and look at all these single parent moms that having to raise these kids because the father is incarcerated, or you know the male figure is not in the home now. I look at homes now. When I was a young girl coming up, we had a mom, a dad, you know,
right.
the family. But now the father's absent. The father is not there. And mom having to raise the kids, the grandmothers having to raise the kids, you know, where's the male figure? Where's the male figure to set the example for these young, especially our young black African boys, you know, where is it? Because mom can only do so much. Grandma can only do so much as a mother, and they are male. They need that male figure in their life.
That's a fact, and plus, you know, it's a generational curse. They end up going to prison, too.
Right.
So, you know, because of that missing male figure. So, like I told my last guest last week, I mean, we got to work to do. I mean, it is just, you know, it's just a lot of work to do, and people just sitting out here acting crazy and not even paying attention to what's going around them. Because now we got to deal with the sex trafficking and the human trafficking. That's the
yes.
next thing coming up, they coming up with, okay?
Yes, and you have to watch your kids now like never before. You know, it's like your kids is being put in bondage now because you can't let them run outside and play no more. You know, like they used to, because you're afraid somebody's going to snatch them up. You got to watch them, try to watch them every second when you're in the store, when you're coming out the store, because somebody is so quick to snatch them up. You know, that's another worry or burden you're putting on a person, a parent, a grandparent, because nobody wants their child to be taken away. I mean, they're just snatching up kids, killing them for no reason at all. It's just a sad situation that this society is becoming.
It really is, and, I mean, it's scary. It's truly
yes.
scary to the point where, you know, you don't even want to go outside to even go to the grocery store or Walmart or anywhere. Because these people are just, like, lurking around, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Okay, well, Lady G, give us about three nuggets to tell us how we can get to knowing this God of a second chance.
Well, I tell you what, you can get to know this God of a second chance by getting into your word and studying your word, being around people, being mentors to people, you know, because that was one of the things with me with radio. So many people looked up to me, so I knew it was up to me not to let them down. I felt like I could not let them down. First of all, I could not let God down. I could not let myself down. So I'm not going to let them down, because when people have you, they look at you as a role model. They look at you as a mentor. And I don't want to cause anybody, no child, nobody to say, oh, my goodness, you know, I thought she was this or I thought she was that. But, you know, yes, we're all human. I know that. And nobody is perfect. But if you put God first and allow God to be first in your life, and you can set the example, you can live holy. You can do what's right in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men, so that men won't glorify you, but they will glorify God that's in you.
And Pastor Anthony, you want to give us a couple of nuggets as to how...
I thought y'all forgot about me.
No, we ain't forgot about you, Pastor Anthony.
That's why I'm a co-host.
You know I ain't going to forget you, Pastor Anthony.
I'm about to go get me a cup of coffee. I'm about to go get ready for my next engagement. And y'all done took off and over, and y'all just do y'all thing. What was the question again?
Okay, could you give us a couple of nuggets to our listeners to let them know about how to know this God of a second chance?
You have to trust him when you can't trace him. In other words, when you can't see him, you have to be able, and that was one of the hardest things for me, you know, with trusting God. All my life, all I knew how to do was in being that type of environment, selling drugs and everything like that. And I had to learn how to trust God when I was going through, when I couldn't see what was going on. And I surround yourself with positive people that's going to direct you in the right direction. No matter what you've done in life, no matter how bad you may think that it is, you know, God loves you and he sees you for who you are. And no matter what you're going through, there's a purpose for the pain that you go through. You know, all that I went through in my life for doing the thing that I'm doing now, being an entrepreneur, God just took those skills that I had as a drug dealer, selling drugs. I ran a business and all of that. Now he's took it into and making a dream become a reality. So don't give up on yourself. Don't quit. And then last, just learn how to rely and hear the voice of the Lord, meaning that sometimes you just have to get away. You have to cut the TV off, the phone off, get off from social media, because there are going to be so many people, so many things that can get in your head, it can get in your ear. But you need to get into a place where you can hear God so he can lead you and he can direct you. And when he orders your steps, you just have to have that faith to believe, because the word let us know that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what the doctor report says, no matter what, God had a final.
He has started.
You have to stay encouraged, stay motivated, and know that God is there for you. He has something greater in store. That's why he said he knows the plans that he has for us, and I'm just thankful for that.
And that's a blessing. And like I said, the blessing is both of you are in the ministry together. And that's what a lot of people, you know, married people don't realize. You're one, and you have to do what God has put you here to do together. And I am just so thankful that I have the opportunity to know you two and that you're doing what God has placed you here to do. You know that vision. You know that purpose. And you guys are working it in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So can you tell my listeners how to get into contact with you guys on social media?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, social media, Facebook page, and go to Anthony Faison, F-A-I-S-O-N, Rosa Faison. They can go there and, you know, hit us up. We have a Facebook page also for Second Chance Ministries. They can go there. That's the number 2, N-D, Chance, C-H-A-N-C-E, Ministries. And that's how they can get in contact with us. Most all of our contact information, email address, phone numbers, all of that information is on our social media page.
Okay, well, Lady G and Pastor Anthony, I do want to take the opportunity to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this interview with me today. And I'm going to keep your ministry prayed up and get out there and just, now I know I got a contact in Fayetteville, I'll send some people to you guys, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and thank you so very much. You know, it is truly a blessing to be able to share, you know, what God has done, especially as I was listening to you and Lady G, you know, those that have been incarcerated and dealing with, and as a couple, because one of the things that I tell couples that are dating while they're incarcerated, you know, I don't regret getting married. One of the things is I got released September the 11th, and we got married September the 12th. So we dated while I was incarcerated. So it was like getting to know each other, somebody again, because my first day, well, about the third day home when she went back to work, when she came home, I done took everything old and threw it away. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't know no better, you know. So we were totally two different people with two different lifestyles, you know. So I encouraged her. Yeah, I did. I threw all the old pots and pans. I done rearranged the kitchen cabinet. I done went through her drawer. I done threw away clothes that I thought was old and had holes, whatever it was. Because that's the type of person that I was. That's the lifestyle that I came from, you know. So I tell them, you know, there's a short cut called Love and Lockup. I said they should have did a story on us. I could have helped a whole lot of people out because it's totally different when you get out versus you're talking to them on the phone once or twice a week. Well, me, it was more than that because I did the system. I had the system. And then, you know, now you come home, you got to eat with them, you're sleeping with them, you get to see attitudes, you get to see mood swings, you get to see all this stuff that you don't see that hour when they come and visit you. You know, when they come, you on your good behavior, I was on my good behavior when Lady G came. But when Lady G left, the other side came out, I was back to hustle. I was back to doing whatever, you know, in the same way she would come, you know, and she was just a cool, calm, and collect because we only have an hour. So, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, well, you got to live with the individual. So, you know, so thank you for an opportunity. You know, we love what we do. God has just been truly a blessing. And can, before we go, can I share this with you right quick?
Sure.
Two seconds. through Second Chance Ministry and through me working with the reentry and my testimony, God put me in a place with this organization called the Brian Hamilton Foundation. And it's an organization that works with individuals who have, I like to call it unfavorable background. And what it does, it helps them become entrepreneurs, start their own business. And so when I started out as a participant, as a mentee, and then God shifted and I became a mentor for the program, and I was the first one to graduate as an honor graduate for that. So he took, and so now I'm a consultant, a coach, a mentor, you know, where I mentor other individuals and steer them in the right direction to see individuals who had a background who couldn't get a job because society say, you know, because you got a background, we can't hire you. And so now to be able to help individuals that couldn't, that had no hope, that need their life restored, God put me in a position through that, and out of that came ARF Enterprises, and ARF stands for Always Ready to Fight, and that meaning that we're always ready to fight for what we believe in with our mind, with our voice, with our heart, and with the Word of God. And it's changing individuals' life daily by letting them know that if I can make it, when they come in my office, they see a McDonald's ambassador plaque on my wall. They don't see a degree and all of that. They see if I can go to McDonald's and flip burgers to stay out of prison and do what I had to do, and I was who I was, then that was a start for me. But McDonald's helped me become the person that I am today because it trained me and it opened up doors for me. So I'm thankful for the Brian Hamilton Foundation for putting us in a place because now we're teaching individuals, helping individuals to own their own business, and like we're doing, to be able to employ those that have unfavorable background so they can become productive citizens in society.
Now, Pastor Anthony, let me ask you about Brian Hamilton. Because I'm thinking while I'm sitting here, I met this guy. Is his company Inmate to Entrepreneurship?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, because I attended one of those graduations, so I was excited because that was one of my visions, too, to do that. But mm-hmm. now that Brian has it in place and I met him personally at one of those graduations, I just, my head goes up to him for doing that. But, you know, he had to go inside the prison to see that need and that birthed Brian Hamilton's foundation. So, you know, so it seemed like we're running in the same circles. I try to go to every graduation that I, you know, hear about because it's truly amazing what these people turn out to do. I mean, they just find their gift and then they go out and get it.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. See, he went back in and in the prison and was doing a lecture and found out that, you know, hey, these guys need a second chance. They got the gifts inside of them. They just need to be stirred in the right direction, guided in the right direction. And so when I first saw the sign and I said, hey, Mr. Entrepreneur, that's something I can do. And when one of the guys got up, when they brought it to Fairview, and he was telling his story, and he started out saying, you know, I'm an individual that have a background, you know, and he got on, he coming in and stuff. I said, man, that's me right there, you know what I'm saying? I don't really don't like working for nobody else. I've been working for my own self, you know. But see, to somebody that came from a background like me to be where they're at now, that was my inspiration. They became my mentors. And now to be able to do that and to be able to go back into the prisons, the homeless, the veterans, and let them know, say, hey, if I've done this, if I've been through that, and that's what makes it so good. When I say God is a God of a second chance, and my testimony is when they come in that office and they see me dressed nice, they think that I don't have nothing in common with them. So I let them say what they got to say. Then when I share my story with them, they're like, nah, man, you didn't do that. Yes, you did. Yeah, I did. I was this type. And the good thing about one of the greatest things that I had to come out of this is individuals who was my lieutenant, my general, who helped me run the prison system, has gotten out, and now I'm their case manager and counselor and mentor, and these guys have gotten jobs, they have gotten a place to stay, they started their own business. When they see how the person that I was, and now they see who I am, That makes a difference. That's why I love what I do, because it's making a difference in the individual life. When they see somebody who used to be like them, it makes a difference when they can sit across you and you say, I understand, and they can feel you when you say that you know what the struggle is like. When you know it's like you got to choose between trying to pay your bills, pay your probation, parole officer, and provide for your family. But I did it. Was it easy? No, but I did it. And to tell you to see guys like that, and they change their life, man, It really does something for me, because I realize that's my purpose, Lord. This is what you called me to do.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, you can feel so good about, knowing that you're walking in the purpose that God had placed you here on this earth to do, because a lot of people take that purpose to the grave.
Yeah,
so I do appreciate what you and Lady G are doing, and I'm just praying that God just increase that feel for you guys, because it's a much needed feel,
I tell you. Yes, it is.
Okay, well, broadcasting from Brashani Radio, Spotify, iHeart, and iTunes Radio, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, Lady G and Pastor Anthony, thanks for taking the opportunity out to do this interview with me today.
Thank you for having us.
All
right. You guys be blessed. And all my listeners, hope you have a blessed week as well.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BrashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BrashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.